Welcome to the Hinckley Institute of Politics. My name is Mary, and I'll be hosting today's forum. The Hinckley Institute was established in 1965 through the generous bequest of the Noble Foundation and Robert H. Hinckley. The Institute is dedicated to teaching students practical respect for politics and the principle of citizen involvement in government. The Hinckley Institute offers paid and unpaid internships to students of all majors here locally in Washington, D.C., and in 35 countries around the globe. We also offer classes, the nation's only campaign management minor, week-long experiences in Washington, D.C., and over $70,000 in academic scholarships. We invite students to go next door or to visit our website at www.hinckley.utah.edu for more information. The title of today's forum is The Importance of Local Government Boards and Commissions. Today's forum is presented by the Representative Rob Bishop Civic Engagement Fund, and our guests are Sydney Fonsbeck, who's a former government consultant and served as a Salt Lake City councilwoman from 1980 to 1992. We also welcome Cheryl Ivey, who's the Salt Lake County Director of Volunteer Services. And with that, we'll begin today's forum. Please join me in welcoming our guests.
I have a long association with Hinckley, not only myself, but my and the leaders. J.D. not only made me politically aware, he made me into a Democrat. And I don't know if that's good or bad, but he was a great guy. And, of course, I served with Ted Wilson while he was mayor of Salt Lake City. And my son had worked with the Hinckley Institute and went back as a photographer under the Hinckley Institute name at the White House. And it turned out to be a really great experience for him. And his wife now is here in the college, so we're very tied up with the political science department. I also taught a class on the administration of small cities and towns because my job, as was described as a political consultant, was really working for the Utah League of Cities and Towns. And I had the opportunity to travel to just about every city and town in the state of Utah and learn to love small cities and towns in Utah and did everything I could to help them with especially their planning, but also in training elected officials and all the things they sort of needed to know to run small communities. It's a very different job being in a small town than it is in a city where you have so many people to draw from. In a lot of these small towns, it was really hard to find enough capable people to be on the city council, sit on the planning commission, sit on the board of adjustment, and a mayor. In fact, sometimes they just rotated the mayorship to see who was going to be mayor the next year. We would often say, why did you run? And people would say, because it was my turn. And that's about where some of these communities are. Boards and commissions are, there are only a couple of them are required by law, by state law. And one of them, of course, is the city council. And another one is a planning commission. And up until a few years ago, there were a lot of communities without planning commissions. But then the state required a general plan, and in order to have a general plan, you have to have a planning commission. So many of them came at a planning commission through the back door. A board of appeals or a board of adjustment is a requirement, but many cities are doing what Salt Lake City just did, and they are hiring an appeals commissioner who works part-time for the city. And so the board of adjustment is gone. I had a lot of people ask me how I felt about that because I taught board of adjustment material for a long time. But I really feel very good about it, even though I really believe in public getting involved in city government and town government via boards and commissions. This board was not a board that you wanted a lot of different points of view on or a lot of different ideas on. It was a board that was, if it was run right, was very, very strictly controlled by state law. As to what you could do and what you couldn't do and under what conditions you could grant a variance, under what conditions you could change things. And a lot of cities just couldn't deal with that.
I wonder if you want to tell a little bit more about what a Board of Adjustment
does. Yeah, well, what the Board of Adjustment was originally set up to is they said, look, there's no possible way that you can write a zoning ordinance that works in every situation. That there are always going to be people who can't do what the zoning or the land use law requires, and they need to have some place where they can go and show that they have a specific circumstance that keeps them from being able to obey the law. And in doing that, you can grant a variance. So it's a variance from the law that you're talking about doing. And there were two or three other things that they were given. They were given special exemptions, special conditions, conditional uses. But with every one of those, there came a set of criteria. For example, on a variance, you had to show that whatever it was that was keeping you from obeying the law was a peculiar circumstance that your neighbors didn't have. In other words, if everybody in the whole block or in the whole neighborhood had the same problem with their lot that you had, then you couldn't be given a special exception. If they had been able to build under the law, then you couldn't be given an exception for that. It also said that whatever the problem was can't be something that you created, that you did. For example, say you've got a piece of property and it's certainly big enough for one building lot, but it's not quite big enough for two. And you decide to make your maximum profits back on that, so you split off a legal lot and sell it. And then you come to the city and say, oh, I've got to have a variance because the lot that I have isn't big enough to build on. And they go back and find out that your lot was plenty big and that there was something that you purposely did to make that, then they shouldn't be granting you a variance. And what happened in a lot of boards of adjustment, and I hate to say even in Salt Lake sometimes, is they'd say, oh, well, we all know Joe and his family's lived here for a long time, and I'm sure he just, you know, made a mistake in subdividing this piece of property, and let's just use our common sense and give it to him. And they got away with it a lot, but if somebody had sued, if one of the neighbors had sued, then they would have been in trouble because the Board of Adjustment did not have the right to grant that variance. So I think it's really much better that it's been turned over to a lawyer who is an expert in land use law, and that decision is made according to the law. At least we can hope. I haven't sat in on any of his meetings yet, but he's a good guy and I trust him. The city, I think, was very careful in selecting him. So back to other boards and commissions. I was just counting. There's this list that I can't read, but you probably can when you get it. I'd have to have my magnifying glass. But these are the boards and commissions in Salt Lake City. And there are about 25, 26 of them. And it is not unusual for them to do away with a committee or to start a new one. The mayor just recreated the bicycle committee as kind of a separate board and commission within the city. There was something before under another body, but he kind of pulled it out and created it himself. Some of them are, you kind of have people standing in line or using political influence to get onto. When I was on the city council, the board that every business man in Salt Lake City wanted to be on was the Airport Authority Board. And until the city council came along when we were elected, there had never been a woman sit on the Airport Authority Board. And Alice Steiner, who was elected, Alice Shear, who was elected to the city council, sat on it when she left. I sat on it. But up until then, we were the only women, and I don't know if there are any women on it now or not. I haven't noticed. But it's a very prestigious board. If you go there, you get kind of the rich and the famous business people of Salt Lake. For some reason, that's a very, very attractive board. The Planning Commission is a very attractive board. And then some boards require some background or a backing of the community. I would think that if you're on the bicycle committee, you ride a bike. I would think that if you're on the Arts Commission or the Design Board, you've got a background in art or architecture. There are others that will train you, especially since they have a hard time finding a lot of people interested in mosquitoes. And believe it or not, the mosquito board is is a really important board in Salt Lake City, and you get to go out and ride around in the boat on the Great Salt Lake. So I don't know if that appeals to you, but I liked it. I liked it. A board that I feel very strongly about is the City and County Building Conservation and Use Committee. Sounds really boring, but when we went to redo the city and county building a number of years ago, when it was almost torn down, we certainly discovered that the deterioration of that building, not only because it was old, but because over the years, piecemeal, different parts of it had been altered, changed, done. I don't know who decided to put in a false ceiling when there was this beautiful gold paint underneath with the sculpted ceilings. I have no idea, but that decision was made independently. The county had come in and lowered ceilings in one of the halls. And so instead of having a hall that you could see through, during the war, they were afraid they were going to be bombed by the Japanese, and so they painted over the glass dome that now you look up at from the center of the building. And each one of these things was sort of was done one at a time. Individual commissioners could decide to, or council members could decide to redo their offices. Well, it wouldn't have been mayors at that time, it was old commissioners. And we just said, that's never going to happen again. And so at the time that we restored that building, this committee on the city and county building was formed. And nobody can come in and just slap down a Coke machine in the middle of the hall. Nobody can just decide that they're going to lower their ceiling because they get better light. It's all done very carefully and with the historical value of that building in mind, so that 50 years from now or 100 years from now, they don't find the same mess that we found when we walked in to restore that building. And because it was such a mess, that's why so many people thought it should be torn down. I don't know of anybody who goes there today and walks around in that building or looks at that building and says, gee, it's too bad we didn't tear it down. Once you restore something, it's kind of there forever. So there are a lot of other. There's housing boards. There's Human Rights Commission. There's the library board. It's the planning commission. The library board is kind of shared with the county. And that was in the news a lot a few years ago. But a big choice. Now, not every city has these boards. Other than a planning commission and some kind of an appeals board, cities can pick and choose their own boards. And oftentimes, boards will sunset at some time. All these small communities that I went to had a board to select the queen. You won't find that on Salt Lake City's list. We don't do queens in Salt Lake. But for a while, we had a prayer committee because we had to let anybody pray that wanted to pray. And so we had this committee who would go through the prayers. And gratefully, we stopped doing that too. So those things come and go. Oftentimes, there will be a committee formed 6 months before the budget. That gives kind of a citizen's view of the budget and makes recommendations from a citizen's point of view rather than from a professional point of view. I am a real believer in boards and commissions. I think it's a wonderful way to get input from citizens, and I think it's also a great way for citizens to get involved and find out what's going on with the city. It was shocking to me when I was with the city to find out how many people didn't know there was a difference between city government and county government. My family stopped going to Smith's with me because I got stopped every second or third time and talked to. And I had one gentleman who wanted to talk to me about a county issue, and I said, "I'm sorry, but I'm not your county commissioner. I'm your city council member." And he said, "Well, it's just a different hat." I said, "Yeah, and the hat's on a different person." And they sit in a different building, and they have different powers, you know. I mean, there's a big difference. But it was quite amazing to me at how many people were really unaware of the city. I taught at Cottonwood High School for 7 years, and I taught when I got on the city council, and it was big news that year because it was the first city council. And I had a lot of my students there at Cottonwood tell me that their parents had voted for me. Well, I knew they didn't vote for me. I knew they didn't live in Salt Lake City. They lived in Salt Lake County, but they certainly didn't live in the city. And I think one of the things that it does when you get involved is you begin to really appreciate how difficult good government is and how slow democracy works if you're going to keep it a democracy. And I think that's very good. I think it's, you know, as much as people are against, we had someone from the Taxpayers Association who didn't want us to, who wanted us to cut taxes in the city. And he was always there telling us we needed to cut taxes, we needed to cut taxes. Well, it turned out that his constituent was on the city council with me. Her name was Rosalind Kirk. And she addressed him and said, you know, you live in my district. And he said, yes, I know. And she said, well, I would like to cut out the trash pickup in the summer. And then she said how much money we'd save, which isn't really very much because the same guys that shovel in the winter with snow plows switch over and drive those trucks and pick up trash. So it's not like we're hiring new people. But she thought it could save several thousands of dollars. And she said to him, don't you think that would be a good idea? And he suddenly became a citizen instead of a taxpayer association person and said, oh, I'd really hate to lose that service. And that's what you find over and over again. People who generally say, we'd like you to cut taxes, but don't cut the police and don't cut the fire. Well, the police and the fire make up, or between police, fire, and fixing streets, which are those that everybody hears about, that's about 80% of your budget. So if you're going to cut something to make a difference, you'd have to do away completely with most of the other services in the city. And once people realize that and are involved enough to know, I think they become better citizens. I think they become better taxpayers. I think they're more willing to realize that good government costs money and it has to be paid for. It's very hard to explain to people why we have to increase water when we have a really wet year. Everybody says, well, my water bill's down because I'm using less water and now you're raising the rates. Well, just because you're not using it, the system doesn't go away. You're not really paying for the water when you pay your water bill. You're paying for the delivery system. And when people aren't using enough water to pay for the delivery system, then you have to raise the fee on the water in order to keep the system working. So it's very complicated. I remember one of our sayings would be, if you think that there's an easy solution, you don't understand the problem. Because there are no simple problems in local government. So anyway, I've left copies of this back here. I would really encourage you, another organization that you can get involved in is that many of you have neighborhood community councils. Mm-hmm. And they are great fun. In my neighborhood, which is the Avenues in Capitol Hill, you have a very hard time getting elected to office unless you have a background with the community council. We want people who understand our problems and understand who we are and what we are. And in the years since we got a city council that's more representative than the old commissioners were, I think there have only been two people that have won in the Avenues, and that was because there were no Avenues community council people running against them. That hasn't happened since. In fact, the two finalists last time were both from the community council, and they eliminated five other people. There were seven people running. Five of them had nothing in common, had never been to a community council. The other two were very active, and those were the two that came out of the primary. So it's a good way if you're interested in getting involved in government. It's great if you can run for office or even ask for a job if you've spent 4 years sitting on the Planning Commission, or if you're very aware of, you know, any of these other opportunities, educational opportunities that these boards provide. There are a lot of other boards too. I have a friend who's retired from the city council and now sits on three water boards and the Board of Health, and absolutely loves it because it keeps his hand in to something that he knows. And so he went very well prepared to sit on these boards and commissions and is loving it. So they're great. It's a great opportunity. And if you're from a smaller town, there's even a a better opportunity, because they'll be so thrilled to have you walk in the door and say that you'd like to sit on one board or one commission or another. Find out where they are and how you can volunteer to do that.
Okay. So I'm Cheryl Ivey. I'm with Salt Lake County. Director of Volunteer Services also includes boards and commissions. In volunteering, we have, with the county, about 80 different volunteer programs and over 20,000 volunteers annually, donating about 1 million hours a year. In addition to that, we have 101 boards in the county. They're divided primarily between advisory boards and policy boards, majority of them being advisory board. Difference being advisory board, just like they sound, they are giving advice to either one of the various departments within the county and or the mayor, deputy mayor, someone within a division possibly. For instance, an advisory board might be Board of Health. We talked about Board of Health. Board of Health is a pretty big, and I'll back up and tell you that advisory boards are what we call our sexy boards. And as Sydney was saying, that those boards that are higher profile are the ones that we have people standing in line to sit on. Board of Health would be one of those. ZAP, which is your Zoo Arts and Parks boards, would be another one. We have ZAP 1 and ZAP 2. ZAP 1 is going to cover, you know, your higher profile, your Ballet West and some of the larger arts programs. ZAP 2 is going to be your smaller programs. It may be a belly dancing program. But those are, they're funded through the county. And the ZAP boards actually make a decision on as to how those boards are going to be funded. So we have the policy boards. Again, there's going to be ZAP, Board of Health, Library Board. The county has 16 libraries. The Salt Lake City Library is not one of our libraries.
That's right.
That one belongs to Salt Lake City. But as you move around the county, the majority of the libraries that we'll see in the county, a few exceptions, Murray has their own library board, or their own library, excuse me, Salt Lake City has their own, Sandy has their own, but the majority of libraries throughout the county are county board or county libraries. I need to back up just a moment, and you're probably all aware of this, but Sydney was alluding to how few people understand the difference between a city and a county, and as far as what the city does and what the county does. And there are 16 cities in Salt Lake County. There's actually what we call the unincorporated area of Salt Lake County, which you may or may not be aware of. If you were to add together all of those areas, which includes 5 townships, I'll go over those, that actually would add up to be the largest city in the county. There are approximately 160,000 people in unincorporated county.
Including some that people think are cities. Like
Kearns.
Kearns and Magna.
Yeah. Kearns and Magna are not cities. Kearns, Magna, Immigration, Mill Creek, Copperton are your 5 townships. They actually are not cities. They are townships, which just means they have voted. There are various things along with the township, but they have voted to kind of stay together as an organized area. They don't have another mayor. They don't have mayors. They don't have councils. Their only government is the county. So while you have Salt Lake City, you have Murray, you have Holiday, I'm from Cottonwood Heights, which is the newest city within Salt Lake County, there's a dual form of government there. You have the city government, and then you have the county government. This is not to say that the county mayor, who has now been McAdams, and previously Mayor Caroon, is the boss over the other mayors, which I think a lot of people think that's the case. They work together. They collaborate. The county is responsible for a lot of different functions, those among them being the library system, most of your senior centers, not all, most of the senior centers in the county, most of the rec centers in the county, a lot of the parks. There are city parks. There are county parks. Certainly public works. Cities have public works, but the county has the broader public work. They will sometimes manage a lot of the streets and handle a lot of the streets, not only some of what you would think of would be a city street, but maybe a county street and or road. And then now and then we have
state
that runs right through the middle of a county unincorporated.
Yes.
So it is confusing, and I have to tell you that sometimes, truly, people in the county don't always know. Occasionally, you will call Public Works, and they will have to look up a map to find out whether your street is managed by the county, a particular city, and or the state that you live on. Getting back to boards, though, 101 boards, primarily being policy boards, advisory boards. Advisory boards giving advice to one of our four departments, which is going to be Public Works, which is obviously a huge department. Community Services. Community Services is going to cover Parks and Recs, Center for the Arts, which would mean a Bravino Hall, Rose Wagner Theater, all of your arts programs. Human Services, which is going to be Aging Services, Mental Health, Salt Lake Health Department, Youth Services, I think I said youth, Youth and Aging, all of those are going to be under your Human Services. And then lastly, Administrative Services. Administrative Services is not as much direct to you, the public, in the department. And we have fewer boards in Administrative Services. My department, Volunteer Services, falls under Administrative Services. It's one of the few that has direct public interaction. But Fleet is going to fall. You guys aren't going to get involved at all in our Fleet department. That's going to be the guys that drive our dump trucks, that drive our snow removal vehicles, that are working with planning commissions to go out and about. So that's going to be Admin Services. They're going to be Fleet. Human Resources is going to be part of HR. So if you want to get a job, that's under Admin Services. So four departments. Of the 101 boards, I would say probably only about maximum 10 to 15% of those are policy boards. And again, those are the boards that everyone wants to sit on. And as Sydney was saying, if someone comes to me and says, I want to sit on a board and I only want to sit on this board, and which happens generally to be a policy board, one of the sexier boards, I can pretty much tell that that person is there to build the resume, whether it be to run for political office or because they're trying to build a resume for a higher profile, maybe job. That's not to say it's a bad thing. That's not to say that they are not maybe the perfect person for that job or to sit on that board. But when we look at a board appointee, we look at a lot of different things, and they may or may not fit the profile of what we're looking for. Diversity, key among everything we look for on a board. And diversity is not just ethnic diversity. We also look for gender diversity. We look for socioeconomic diversity. We look for age diversity. And I'm looking out here, and I'm seeing all of you, and tell you that the majority of you, we have boards that we want young people to sit on because we need your perspective. So if you are planning at some point to move in, well, actually, I would just say business-wise, it's going to help you as well. But certainly if you're ever considering running for office, boards are something that you want to look at. Not only is it going to give you the knowledge of how to work together with a group that has a general, a direction that has a purpose, and teach you how Robert's Rules of Order and teach you how to move forward within that sort of group and to make decisions and vote and elect and choose key issues that your group wants to concentrate on. There are a lot of reasons to sit on a board. They're altruistic as well. Hopefully, you want to sit on a board because you want to make your community better. And frankly, when people come to me and they say, I want to sit on a board, and I really am not particularly interested or care about what kind of board I sit on, I just want to make my community better, I love those volunteers because they're ones that we can sit and talk about. I can find out about their interests a little bit. I can discuss with them what their interests might be. I can certainly direct them towards a particular board. But they're the person that I know is going to show up at a meeting. They're there because they want to be there. If they are signing up to be on a board or they're putting in their application to be on a board and it's a high-profile board, I can tell you that a good deal of the time they want their name on that list so they can put it on their resume, and they're not showing up at meetings. So four things whenever I interview someone for a board that I ask for, and the first one is going to be attendance. Are you going to be able to attend every meeting? Are you going to be able to show up at every meeting? We all have lives. We know that now and then there are situations where life gets in the way. But I want to make certain that you're going to be there because we need bodies. We can't vote if we don't have a quorum and we don't have bodies. Second thing I ask for is some sort of engagement. Please don't sit in the back of the room and say nothing. You know, bring ideas to the table. There are no bad ideas on a board. I might add a caveat to that, and I'll come to that in a moment about our new bicycle board. Because we did our bicycle board, too. But generally, there are no bad ideas. So please engage in the board. The next thing I'm going to probably talk to you about, and this is conflict of interest. We talked a little bit about planning boards. Planning boards are another of those that are we would consider a policy board that the council's going to get involved in when we go to appoint. And it should tell you, the appointment process is this. I generally, if there requires an interview, I'll do the interview and sometimes bring in the board liaison, whoever, because we have so many boards, we have board, you know, individual county employees that work directly with those boards. I could not attend 101 board meetings a month and do anything. In fact, I couldn't physically do that, let alone any other part of my job. So we have board liaisons, which are board, you know, or county employees that work with those boards. So one of the things that we rely heavily on, especially when it comes to planning commissions, we do interview, or I do interview planning commissioners, because conflict of interest can be so big and so huge in a planning commission. Cindy was talking about board of adjustments. Planning commissions are kind of the first step towards in a community. And again, each city has their own planning commission. And then if you happen to be one of those five townships, you're going to have a planning commission as well. Mill Creek has a planning commission. Kearns has their own planning commission. Copperton, Magna, Immigration all have their own planning commission.
And that's fairly recent.
Fairly recent.
Fairly recent.
Mm-hmm. Some of them have not been in effect more than about a decade, especially if they're relatively new townships. White City, which is now considered a township, they have chosen to have Salt Lake Planning. Salt Lake Planning is an additional, so there's, I'll back up, Kearns Township, Magna Township Planning Commission, Mill Creek, Immigration, Copperton, and then there's Salt Lake Planning. Part of that 160,000 unincorporated that I spoke of are not in a township and they're not in a city. They are unincorporated. They have no form of government. Salt Lake Planning is a planning commission that overlooks all those other little pockets around the valley where people may live. I mean, you may think you live in Sandy, but the reality is there are pockets all through Sandy. There are unincorporated areas. If you don't vote for the Sandy mayor and it doesn't come up on your ballot, guess what? Even though your address is Sandy, you don't live in Sandy. You live in an unincorporated pocket. I live in Cottonwood Heights. All the years when before we became a township and we were just a community, had a community council, became a township and then had a planning commission, my address was Salt Lake City. But I didn't get to vote for the Salt Lake City mayor. I voted for the county, and that was it, a county commissioner prior to them changing the form of government. But Salt Lake Planning would be another one that is going to oversee all of those planning areas or all of those areas where development is going on that don't belong to a city, don't belong to a township. Conflict of interest comes into play, and I'll tell you, when Mayor Caroon came into office, truly almost every single planning commission was made up of middle-aged white men that happened to be developers. Mm-hmm. And this was when we were talking about a lot of cronyism coming into play a good deal of the time with variances and planning commissions and things that get passed in planning commissions. So conflict of interest is huge for me. I want to make certain, that's not to say again that a developer doesn't belong on a planning commission. You just don't want an entire planning commission of seven people to be all developers or real estate agents.
There's also a thin line between you want them because they've got their expertise in a given area, but they are not there representing that area.
That community.
We had a gentleman on the Planning Commission in Salt Lake one time who could never make a decision because he wanted to go back and check with the Downtown Alliance to see how they wanted him to vote. And he finally got called in by the mayor, I believe that was Ted at the time, who said, "You're not here representing the Downtown Alliance. You don't ask them how to vote. You're representing you have that background mm-hmm. and you have that interest, but you are representing the people of the entire community and not just the little group. And we've had a problem with that several times where people come in thinking, I represent this area and this area only, the developers or the Downtown Alliance or a specific neighborhood, and they sort of need to be retrained.
And we have that certainly with Mill Creek. Mill Creek actually has four distinct community councils within Mill Creek. They have Olympus, they have East Mill Creek, they have Mill Creek, and I'm going to forget a couple of them. But we do strive in that situation to make certain that we have one person on that planning commission from each one of those community councils so that each one of them gets represented. So that is a fine line, is who are you there to represent? I've also had planning commissions where we did have a developer on them, and they had to recuse themselves so often because they had property that was in that particular township area, and they couldn't vote on it in good faith, that it wasn't worth having them on the board because they recused themselves often enough that we said, you know, it's like you're not even in attendance if you can't vote on it. So we've had to ask them, you know, to step down from the township too. But conflict of interest is big. It's one of the things I try to flesh out at the very beginning. And if the conflict of interest is too large, I won't allow them to sit on the board. Lastly, and this is something that is brand new, and I can't believe I have to talk about this, but in the last year, the fourth item that I talk about is, and I can't believe I have to do this, but it's civility.
Oh.
And civility is, I don't know what's happened in this world. I'm not quite sure where we are, but truly treating people, not only on the board, your peers on that board, with civility and respect, but the public as well. You probably see in community township meetings more volatility from the audience or the crowd or the people attending, the public, than you will in anything else. People are very passionate about their community, and they are going to sit in an audience like yourself, and someone is going to be sitting up here that's going to be what we call an applicant, that's going to bring a project to the table that they want voted on by the Planning Commission. And they're going to lay out, and they're going to have their maps and their topography and their plans and their blueprints. And they're going to be people sitting in the public that say, I do not want that 5-story building in my neighborhood. I do not, the zoning may allow a 5-story building. They have the opportunity to still voice their opinion. That doesn't mean if the zoning would allow it, that it won't be approved. But the council also has the ability at that point, within limits, of maybe saying, can I suggest that we put those two floors that are parking underground? They don't always have the ability to change that, but the public does get involved, and so that civility has to carry over to the public. We do not teach or treat them disrespectfully. A few years ago, you may have even seen that in the paper where we had that situation. We actually have it right now. Again, Sydney was talking about the BAC, which is our, I think they call it MBAC, at Salt Lake City, which is the Mayor's Bicycle Advisory Council. That was discontinued partially because there was so much discord within the board, and it was eliminated. The board was you know, dissolved. The mayor is now putting that back together. We had to do the same thing in the county, and remarkably enough, one or two individuals can make a board so dysfunctional that it can be eliminated. We did that with our own bicycle advisory board a few years ago. We basically just let the board die out, and we have only recently started it back up. We're making great strides. We had 60 applicants 2 months ago. In the month of December, we had one little line in the Tribune that said, if you are a bicycle enthusiast and you'd like to be on the County Bicycle Advisory Council, please contact me. I about had a heart attack when I saw it because I knew what was going to happen. We had 60 applicants, so we had to set up a matrix in order to try to judge what we were, first decide what we were looking for on that board. What was the makeup that we had existing? with the few members that still remained, although they were inactive. What did we want? What were we trying to achieve? And then giving points to those individuals that maybe worked or got us to that goal, higher points. So we ended up setting up a matrix system. Out of that, we then did interviews. We did 13 different interviews from that. We narrowed it down to about 13 different people and did 13 different interviews. That's not to say we still didn't have people that didn't make it on the board that weren't happy. You know, I had an attorney call me up that was absolutely outraged that he was not put on the board. But frankly, we had such amazing applicants to sit on that board. Not always the case. Sometimes I am big borrowing and stealing people to sit on a board. Kern's Rec Center, Magna Rec Center, don't get a lot of takers. I'm sorry, Sydney. Mosquito abatement doesn't get a lot of takers.
Well, I know it doesn't, but it's a lot of fun.
It is. And we have the Magna Mosquito Abatement. We have Salt Lake County Mosquito Abatement. And we have Salt Lake City Mosquito Abatement.
And I was at a meeting one time when we were going through all of the mosquito abatement, and Jim Davis suggested that we have a master abater.
Perfect. Okay, Sydney?
That was Jim Davis. That wasn't me.
So, yes, I have a hard time sometimes getting people that might want to sit on the mosquito abatement board. So when I say that some of these boards are a little bit difficult for you folks to sit on, or to maybe get on because we do have a backlog, I have other boards that are begging for people. You know, Commission on Youth is a board that the bylaws actually require for a certain number of individuals to be young people. And I go back to that, what I'm looking for as far as diversity, and that is an age diversity. If I've got all 45-year-old white men, which is primarily who signed up to be on the Bicycle Advisory Board, so they got the lowest points because that was the majority of who signed up for that board, and they all lived in Salt Lake City. 45-year-old white men that lived in Salt Lake City, that's who applied for that board. So we were really looking for younger people, and I've got one or two that were from the university that were still students here at the university that we put on that board. Occasionally I'll put a housewife with two young children that has absolutely no experience whatsoever in planning on a planning board. You know, if they're sharp, and I think that they're going to be able to pick up, we don't expect you to have all the knowledge when you come in, but if I think they're going to be able to pick up very quickly on a lot of the issues that go on with planning, be able to read a book and look at a plan and be able to determine what is happening there and aren't afraid to ask questions, just because they are going to represent a large amount of their community, I'm going to put a 35-year-old woman with two children that is a stay-at-home mom on a board because she brings a completely different perspective that I might not otherwise have from her community. Certainly, she is representing a part of her community. So we look for different perspectives as well. LGBT, I look for people that, you know, are LGBT that want to sit on a board because we need that perspective. So boards are really wide open. Again, if you're looking at all ever to run for political office, you want to start considering boards. If you're a campaign manager, and I heard them talk about that a little bit, and I'll tell you, I was Rocky Anderson's last campaign manager on his last term that he ran as city mayor, and I was Peter Caroon's first when he first ran for the county mayor's seat, and I don't think I have the energy to ever do another campaign again because they are 70-hour weeks. Prepare for that. But one of the main reasons both of them did well, and certainly Peter, who was vastly unknown, was because he did sit on the Avenues Community Council.
He was chair one time.
He was chair. He sat on, he started, what is the small business? Best Pocket Business Alliance. He sat on a lot of youth boards. He was all over the place as far as boards and commissions, and it was pretty easy to look at the difference in a candidate and see, here's a candidate who cares about his community because he sits on all of these volunteer boards, and here's another candidate over here, which we had a last-minute candidate come in against Peter when Mayor Workman dropped out. that sat on no boards that weren't something that had to do with his profession. So for the public to look at and we made certain that the public was aware of that. Those people that are there to serve their community versus those people that are there to pad their own pocketbook. And it's a big difference. So I think I probably covered the majority of what I wanted to say. Advisory boards, policy boards, bylaws, you know, they all have their own bylaws too. Generally, the bylaws are written by the board. We ask that the board sit down because that way they have ownership. And occasionally we revisit those bylaws and make certain that they are accurate and they are up to date and that they reflect what the board's mission is, the mission statement of that board. So individuals that sit on those boards have a hand in that and have a hand in actually looking at the mission statement and maybe broadening that mission statement. It may be broader, or they may feel that it's broader than what it should be. I'm going to go back to that bicycle board and say one last thing. We just, again, we went through a huge process to get this new bicycle advisory board put together. We call it Slick Back, Salt Lake County Bicycle Advisory Board, SLCBAC. We just elected a new chair, or the board itself did. We've had one meeting and went into our second meeting, just had our second meeting. And the liaison to that chair or to that board came to me yesterday and said, "This is a disaster. We have to do something right now," because they were so offensive to the other members of the board. And this is one thing, just a chair of a board, and I'm not quite sure how this happened. It's not like being president. You don't get to decide what the board's direction is and everything that happens within that board. And it does not, the entire board does not become your vision. And we occasionally have that happen where we have to go back and say, you know, you need to be a team player. The board kind of has. That's not to say it can't be tweaked and a vision can't be changed. But because you're the chair of a board, you're not the president of that board, and you're not the president of the company. And that is something, again, as of late, that we've had to kind of deal with a little bit. I'm not quite sure what's happening.
Well, Ralph just got a letter on one of these boards where every member of the board signed this letter saying, if you don't remove this person as our chair off the board. They didn't want her just removed as chair. They wanted her gone. It's either her or us.
And
we're all waiting to see what the mayor's going to do.
Well, that's primarily where we are on this one right now. If indeed this person doesn't self-select to remove themselves from the board, because we've had a couple relatively frank conversations.
Is that like self-deport?
Yep, pretty much. if they don't, agree to self-deport themselves off the board, then what will happen was the board itself, and that's been my recommendation. I spoke with the vice chair yesterday. They will then make the decision to write a letter and ask the mayor to have this person, because mayors are always loath to remove somebody from a board.
Oh, yeah.
One other thing I should say, most of our boards are three-year terms. The majority of them are three-year terms. You have the opportunity to be reappointed for a second three-year term. Some of the boards that are four-year, five-year terms, which we have a couple of them, state code actually says you're only allowed to serve one term on those boards. Now, that's not to say that a lot of cities don't ignore that. And they will have the same individual sitting on a board for 12, 15 years.
Salt Lake did when we came into the council.
We did as well.
He's a deceased individual, so I can say Izzy Wagner was a professional board sitter.
Yep.
And as long as anybody knew, he had been on the Planning Commission. Nobody could remember when he was first appointed. And when we passed it, you could only serve for two terms. I think it was Ted took him off and put him on another board for 4 years and then put him back on the Planning Commission.
And if you can leave and come back to a board in the county. We've
had
that happen.
Yes, he did.
Before. Clark Planetarium, Sterling Paulson, which you all know is the weatherman. Sterling is a sterling board member. I mean, he is fabulous on the planetarium. He has a vast interest. I don't know. It's just a personal interest. It's nothing to do with particularly his work, really. But he was a wonderful board member on the Clark Planetarium board. Sterling served his two terms. He had to drop off. We made him sort of an honorary board member. He could still come to the board meetings. And then after about a year of being departed, he came back on. That's one other thing, too. I should mention that all of our board meetings, and hopefully this would be true with all of the city board meetings, but not always the case in any city, are subject to the Open Meetings Act, which means that they are open to the public. So any one of our boards, committee meetings you ever want to come to, you're interested in the Slickback Board, you're interested in the Mosquito Abatement Board, heaven help you.
Hey, I'll sit on your mosquito board. So, you haven't asked me. I'd be happy to do that,
Sydney. When one comes up, I'm going to call you.
Okay.
So, but if there are a subject to Open Meetings Act, which means that, you know, basically any of you are allowed to attend as well. There are no closed-door meetings within Salt Lake County on any of our boards. One last thing, we've talked about government boards. You're a government entity, but let me just tell you too, a great place to start if you want to start looking at boards, and maybe gradually work into a government board. There are thousands, and I'm not exaggerating, thousands of boards out there in the community that you can be part of. And again, they are sometimes begging for individuals. I sit on the Salt Lake Acting Company Board. I have to tell you, they're the ones that do Saturday's Foyer. That is the most fun board I've ever sat on in my life. The day that I am done and I've served my terms on that board, I will sob, because those people are insane, and it is so much fun, and we have such a great time, and we get a lot of great things done. I mean, we truly have achieved unbelievable things on that board. With Salt Lake Acting Company. And Tim, we've got Tim actually coming in sometimes and being occasionally with some of our productions. We'll have a panel discussion that has something to do with one of our productions, before, after, during. And we have Tim sometimes. We've tapped him to come in and sit on some of those panels. And I hope you enjoy it as much as we all do. Because
February 16th.
There you go. See? So, and that's for How to Make a Rope Swing?
That's right.
How to Make a Rope Swing, which is the play that we're doing right now. But I also sit on the Cottonwood Heights, what do we call it, the Cottonwood Heights Arts Council. I'm relatively new on that board. There are a few things about it that are scaring me on that board, because there's a little bit more cronyism than I would like, and I've already discussed that with them, and it's something that, you know, as we move forward, I will have to make a personal decision whether or not I want to stay on that board, if in fact that continues. But there are boards out there. Whatever your interests are, you're going to be able to find board. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of nonprofit boards. So, you know, if you have an interest in children, or, you know, the Cancer Society, you know, just dial 211 or go on the 211, which is United Way's umbrella sort of nonprofit organization. I don't know if you know 211. It's like you dial 211 just like you would 911 for an emergency. 211 is there for, it's for people that need help with social service programs versus 911, which is going to be health or fire or, you know, police, somehow related to that. 211 is for people that need social service programs. The flip side of that is every one of those social service programs need volunteers. So you could go on the 211
site. Call them if you want to know where to go get your driver's license.
You can call them for anything.
Anything, yeah.
Anything you want, you can dial 211. You know, you've got a neighbor who needs their driveway plowed. They're a senior citizen, or they just had hip surgery and they can't do it themselves. 211, find someone that will do that. But they also are all looking for volunteers. So don't think government's the only place that you can volunteer for a board. And sometimes it's a great way to start out your board experience. Okay.
So we'll now devote the remainder of time to questions. Please speak clearly into the microphone, state your name and something about yourself.
My name is Matt Morris, and I'm a senior here at the U. And I know that there are a lot of states back east that they don't have county governments, where they just, you know, where the cities just take over all the responsibility. Mm-hmm. Would that be possible in Salt Lake County, you know, just have all the cities and, you know, take over those responsibilities, and would it be more efficient?
It would be possible only if all of those unincorporated areas were gobbled up by cities. So, again, we have 160,000 residents that live in these areas, and we've talked about, you've heard the expression, wall-to-wall cities, And you're right, a lot of communities are wall-to-wall cities. That's not the case here. There is some hesitancy on part of a lot of those areas. Mill Creek just had an election this last year, whether or not they wanted to incorporate and become their own city. They chose, really, I was pretty surprised, overwhelmingly not to become their own city. Cottonwood Heights, where I live, which is one of the newer cities, and I have to tell you, living there, and initially I was on the Cottonwood Heights Community Council, which we were the planning board for that particular area. Now that we've become a city, I have to tell you, I'm not so positive that it was the right thing to do, that we were maybe better served by being part of the county.
It's really hard in a lot of small communities. You know, we would get, when I was working with the League, we put out a directory that has all the cities and towns listed and phone numbers and who's sitting on boards, and people would call and say, you didn't put Magna in here. And we'd say, well, Magna's not an incorporated city. Well, Magna's been there for years, yeah. Well, the reason that Magna and Kearns and some of these areas are not incorporated is because then they'd have to support themselves. Mm-hmm. And you don't support yourself with private homes. A city is supported by the business that they bring in. Because houses, even expensive houses, do not pay for themselves as far as services go. There always needs to be a county government. In fact, counties are a kind of shires that came out of medieval England, because there are always some services that do cross the line, that crosses over from one community to another. Aging services. You don't divide those up. The thing that we were concerned with when I was on the city council is that there were some things that we were paying for in the city and paying again for in the county. And yet if you call the county, they'd say, oh, the city does its own. so we don't have to serve you, even though it was double taxation. And over the years, the last 30 years, the city has worked really hard. In fact, one of the people who worked for Salt Lake City that was really trying to get rid of double taxation was Ben McAdams, mm-hmm. who's now with the county. So I'm hoping that he will finish that up, whatever is left there. But county government is important. But the question we say is, let's get county out of city services, like picking up the garbage and some of these other things. Let cities incorporate to the point, and townships appointed to the point where they take care of that. But some of these communities really cannot support themselves. And this happens all over the state. There are two or three places in the state that have incorporated. Apple Valley should have never incorporated. They cannot support themselves. The Daniels Canyon area. The only reason that they did that is that it was a developer who wanted to control his own land mm-hmm. and not have the county do it. But it doesn't work as a city. And sometimes they disincorporate. One of my favorite cities disincorporated, Pickleville. I really miss Pickleville. And it is no more. It once was an incorporated city. Do any of you know where it is? Oh, it's up on Bear Lake. And it's now been kind of incorporated into the other city that's up there. But they disincorporated because they could not support themselves, couldn't do it. A few years ago when the Utah part of Wendover borrowed all this money for an expensive sewer system and an airport, and they could not finish the airport. Mm-hmm. And the Tooele County said, it's your airport, you're an incorporated city, we're not going to do it. And so Wendover came and said, well, we'll disincorporate, and then you don't have to pay for it all. And county said, well, we'll help you. Because they didn't want to take on the burden of everything else that Wendover brought with it, which is a lot of problems. Wendover, the Utah side of Wendover is a third world country. And it's very, very, it's a very difficult place for people to live. And they have tried to even allow themselves to be incorporated into Nevada, but the legislature won't let them do that. So lots of problems. You know, one of the nice things, once you get into government, is you find out what's really going on. And it's surprising the difference between what people think are going on because mm-hmm. they read the papers or don't read the papers and what's really happening. And it's kind of fun to get in on the inside of that. And once you're in, you can stay in forever.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't been on the city council now in 20 years, but I still know a lot about what's going on in Salt Lake City. So it's
great fun. And taxes, certainly, that's one of the areas where you really start learning. I know we've been hearing and reading lately about snow plows. Why weren't there more snow plows out? And I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, we have almost as many snow plows out in the last storms. It's just because we haven't had a storm like that in a while in the last few storms that we've had. But also, when we keep cutting in the county, which we have, we cut 15% 2 years ago. We cut 15% last year. We were all asked to cut 10% this year. My budget that I have has been slashed and slashed and slashed. I now do the job of five different people. There used to be three people that ran volunteer services. There used to be another person that did boards and commissions. And now I also do emergency services, emergency volunteers, which is a whole other job. I still handle the mayor's contribution fund. And good news for all of you, starting this year, it's my initiative to put together a very robust internship program at the county, and it's going to be countywide. And that's one of the things that we're hoping to get off the ground this year. And where we have kind of started, placing a few interns. I have a couple Hinckley Institute interns, one last year and one that just started this year that came to me via the Hinckley Institute. This will be countywide. But again, one of the other things, county adds, we consider what we add to the community quality of life. And that would be your rec centers, your parks, your senior centers, the quality of life issues that maybe cities don't have the money also to provide. They're too busy trying to just function as a city to also add this quality of life. I mean, you look at Zap is, a county function, the Zoo Arts and Parks, and the amount of parks and the open space that we've bought and the land that we've bought and things that we've done with regards to Zap and building, facilities and parks and skateboard parks and various other things that Zap has built. Along with, of course, supporting a lot of the arts. That's a county function. So while, again, we could become wall-to-wall cities, there's still a need for a county function.
Yeah.
This concludes today's Hinckley Forum. Please join me in thanking our guests.
Sorry. We kind of didn't allow too many more questions.